John chapter 20, the story of Mary Magdalene going to the tomb and meeting the Lord Jesus there. And it's called bittersweet experience, this message, because it's bittersweet. The Lord has died, but he's also rising from the dead. And we live in a world of sin, yet we believe that Jesus calls us from out of that to follow him and be joined to him. So it's a real turning of grief to joy, and we'll see that in the story of Mary, who comes to the tomb. And John is focusing in his gospel on this experience of Mary. And even though he's focusing on Mary Magdalene, he is not ruling out the fact that women came to the tomb, as other gospels say. The women were all coming to the tomb, but he highlights and focuses on Mary Magdalene. And the women at the tomb is important, but this special moment that Jesus has with Mary Magdalene is important. They come to the tomb and they find it empty, which is the amazing truth. Now, what they came to the tomb for is to pay their respects, to honor their fallen leader who had been crucified on Friday and was dead, and so they wanted to honor him, honor the dead, as you see people do all the time with flowers, with moments of quiet in a graveyard. They were doing it to help them find comfort in their grief and to be sure that proper homage was paid to the death of their dear leader. The last thing on their minds was the hope that Jesus was alive again. These are a couple of depictions of Mary Magdalene. No one really knows what she looked like. There are a lot of pictures of her that I wouldn't necessarily want to show. But these are kind of reflective, and they do indicate a woman who could be of Middle Eastern descent. Sometimes we mirror some of the biblical characters, our own, you know, they look like us, you know. Someone had blonde hair. Someone had hair, you know. Not me, but having lost some of my brown curls along the way. But the last thing on their minds was they were going to meet a risen Jesus. The last thing on their minds was the hope that Jesus was alive. And what I can tell you is this has not happened in my experience, and it has not happened in their experience. And so there's this big question. It's a new and novel thing, very unexpected, that in this dawn hour, when they're coming to the tomb, to expect that Jesus is risen from the dead is a total surprise. It's unexpected, and it's surprising, yet it's wonderful at the same time. And wonder is a beautiful expression, a feeling, a thing or a person that makes you feel admiration mixed with surprise. There's wonder at this event, and they're amazed that he is risen. And so we're going to reflect on that as we look at Scripture in a moment. Let's pray. Son, Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the light of eternity. Enlighten our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit, that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the reading of the Scriptures, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So in John 21-18, it says there, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, who we know is John. He wrote that Gospel of John, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not realize that it was him, that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had that he had said these things to her. This is her witness and her testimony from the Gospel of John. And John is reflecting in his Gospel on Mary Magdalene. She has come to pay respects to the Lord in the darkness of the dawn, not yet bright. She wanted to go there and weep as the sun was coming up on this Sabbath day after Easter, Black Saturday is sometimes the way to describe it. Good Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now you say, skeptics will say 3 days isn't carried in that time frame, but it's not about 3 days. It's about a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday. On the third day, he would rise again. So the Sabbath had to end, and the Jewish Sabbath starts Friday evening at sundown, and it ends Saturday evening at sundown. And then it's dark at night. There are no electric lights, so women aren't going to go out in the dark. They're going to come at the first light of dawn. And that's when they came. But Jesus had risen. He had already risen this Sabbath day after it was closed. And she, Mary, wanted to pay her respects to Jesus, to do a simple thank you, to honor her master who had brought her redemption and renewal. She wanted to honor the dead. He was laying there stone cold dead in his tomb. And she wanted to weep and spend some time there. But already, right then and there, she discovered a plundered tomb. The stone rolled away. Oh no, what did they do? Where is the body? She found the empty tomb, as I have behind me and on the screen. So Mary runs. She runs to tell Simon, Peter, and John. She's in a rush. She's in a hurry. Perhaps they could still catch the no-gooders before the trail ran cold. So she gets Peter and John. They run. And John is a faster runner. Peter maybe is a little bit older and a little slower. I don't know. But it was completely logical that someone might steal a body so that it could be hidden or disappeared or whatever to prevent anyone making Jesus into a martyr, or for it to become someone's talisman, that I can take this body and, you know, say, "I have the body. Do you know that, you know, maybe we can do something with it." Now, normally it would be taken away with all of its wrappings. You know, you wouldn't unravel a decomposing body. So the absolutely most important detail in this John account is this. When Peter looked, the strips of linen were empty, and the head cloth was lying there, separate from the linen. John looked, Peter looked, they both saw it. Same thing. So the body of Jesus was not taken. Otherwise, it would be gone with all the linen with it. The linen was lying there, but was not really unraveled. It had become unimportant. The body just passed through it, like through a locked door or through the walls of a building or whatever. Something different was happening. They discovered that the resurrected Jesus was not bound by time and space and physical limitations anymore. Jesus appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they begin to talk. They're very grieved about the loss of their Savior, their rabbi. Now, he's not a Savior yet, he's a rabbi. He's crucified on the cross, and the Emmaus walkers are saying to each other, what happened? You know, this is really sad. And Jesus comes in the midst of them, is not recognized because of this strange difference of the resurrected body from what was an ordinary body. And he reasons with them from Scripture as to why he had to rise from the dead. He appeared here to Mary at the tomb, Jesus, the resurrected Lord. He appeared to the disciples in the locked room, upper room, where they were hiding, afraid that they were going to be the next ones arrested and caught. There are no limitations of time or space or physical limitations any longer. That's why Jesus was transported out of the linen, and it was left there in the tomb. It didn't have to be taken with him. We don't know what a resurrected body looks like. But there's a fact that there was an encounter with them. Jesus appeared with the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, started a fire, and he was frying fish, and he made a meal for them, a breakfast that they then came and enjoyed. Jesus was with them, and he had a body with which he could actually eat. And then doubting Thomas could touch the wounds in his side and his hands. He was not limited anymore. Jesus appeared to them on the mountaintop before he ascended to his Father, as he said to Mary Magdalene, go tell the disciples, I will ascend to my Father in heaven, but not till after 50 days. 50 days between Easter Sunday and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Jesus spends 50 days, the resurrected Lord, spending time with his disciples and followers, and he was seen by up to 500 people. We believe and understand. That's why there's such a crowd on this mountaintop. It is our sincere hope in the resurrection from the dead. We have something that we want to know and enjoy. Because we've lost loved ones. Maggie lost Dr. Wen. Used to be members who attended this church for many years, lived on Guam for many years. He was a doctor who served here. They went back to their home in Taiwan, and dementia eventually took his life in his 80s. But his wife Maggie received, someone said, I've had a dream of Dr. Wen, again, alive and vigorous in heaven. And he's no longer bound by his ever-weakening body, subject to the decay of this earth. But he is his energetic self, and he's made whole. We've lost a dear member named Bill Wood, who used to play music for us all the time and worship here. We believe that he has died in his hope of the resurrection, that he is playing all the music he can to his heart's content, and teaching all the Bible he wants to. He was a teacher at PIU. He was in Chuuk, in the island of Tol, teaching there. But he's in heaven now, free, restored, made complete. Just waiting for us as we hold on to our resurrection hope. For the sake of Jennifer, who passed away in our midst and no longer needs a wheelchair, but is now able to dance in the streets of heaven and sing to her heart's content. And we remember the hope, the resurrection hope for John Sayer, who recently passed from us, an elder of this church, and has been made whole in the hope of the resurrection in heaven. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. It's something we say in the Apostles' Creed. If you ever recite that one now and then. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Just like Jesus here in front of Mary in the garden, Jesus is resurrected and he gives us that hope. And he's giving that hope to Mary. Mary is at the tomb and she looks and sees the angels. Now, why didn't Peter and John see the angels? I don't know. Perhaps Mary was ready to entertain the supernatural and the disciples needed a little more time. The angels came to visit with Mary and they ask her, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "My master is gone." Then she turns and Jesus has appeared. Jesus appears to her. And he simply says, "Woman, why are you crying?" Of course, they're living the heavenly reality, the angels and Jesus, waiting for us humans to catch up. And Mary pleads with the stranger. She doesn't recognize him yet. Thinks he's the gardener. "Do you know where they have taken him? Maybe you took him. Maybe you know where the body is. Show me it so I can, again, honor the dead." And then Jesus says to her, "Mary," in a voice that she recognizes. She knew his voice. And then she realized, then she knew, he's alive. Now, that recognizing of a voice happens very simply. I weekly call my father, 95-year-old father, lives in Michigan. It's a long way from Guam. You look at Guam there and go all the way to California, and then you go to the States, and California's on the left. You go all the way to the middle. Michigan is standing there in between all the Great Lakes. When I call, my father recognizes my voice. I usually say Guam calling. But he knows my voice. And it's a good morning for me. Usually I call him in the morning. It's his evening, the day before. And it's not much in the voice, but it's enough for him to know it's his faraway son. So Jesus is recognized to Mary. And Jesus then says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me. I am not for here. I'm going to be going to heaven. But you can feel the body. You can hold on to it. It's solid. Yet it is so different. It is not bound. It is not restricted. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It makes our hope real. It makes it alive. The nature of Christ's resurrected physical body is a mystery and really almost impossible to understand. How he can transport from one place to the next, show up on a seashore, on a mountaintop, in a locked room. But time and space and physical limitations do not exist anymore for the resurrected one. When someone dies, they leave their body behind. Their spirit goes. And we believe that when we die in our faith, in our trust in Jesus Christ, he comes to take us home. And we are with him forever. And this belief is full of possibility. It's full of victory. And it's full of glory. Because it is the hope of the world that we don't just evaporate into nothing. That we don't just disappear or have to be held in darkness. We can go to be with our Lord. This is us now. People of the resurrection. Just like Mary Magdalene, who comes running to the disciples and says to them, "He is alive." Perhaps it feels like it's too good to be true. It takes faith to trust. It takes faith to know it. This is what God has left us in the world. He's, for 2,000 years, it's faith that has made a way. It's by faith alone that we are justified, made right with God. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus says, the angels say, sorry, to the disciples. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. And we say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. Let us pray.